Also we have traveling is Sister Noelle Green. She is in a business trip. She's supposed to be scheduled to come back tomorrow, I believe, is what I learned from the information. Glad you're here. Want to begin on what I would consider one of my pet peeves. You say, well, what's that have to do with listen? You'll understand in just a moment. One of my pet peeves is when people constantly use, I can't. Have you ever heard people talk about, I can't? I can't do this, and I can't do that. And so we're going to begin with that, the idea of I can't. It is my opinion, I can't is often a response by an individual who simply is unwilling to put the necessary effort to complete the task. Or it might be one's response due to fear of the possibility of failure. Or perhaps there are other factors which lead to one saying, I can't. But this I know, the phrase I can't does not promote one's development in life, but rather becomes a deterrent in reaching one's potential. Think about that. If we already defeat ourselves, we can never move forward, can we? So we got to be careful on this phraseology, I can't. The mindset of I can't should not be embraced by the Christian. To confirm this point, I have entitled our lesson we're going to study this morning, 10 Words to Live By. Are you interested in about the 10 words to live by that will defeat the idea of I can't? 10 words to live by. You're not going to be surprised when I share them with you. Think about this. If you looked and thought about the scriptures, 10 words to live by, where might you go? Now, there might be a number of directions you go, but I believe the one that aptly fits the idea of 10 words to live by that will defeat the I can't is found in Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I counted that number of times to make sure I had it right. There's 10 words there. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. This was the absolute first passage I memorized as I became a Christian. And I became a Christian in my 20s. This was the first passage I memorized. And it's a passage that has helped me at the beginning and helps me to this day. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Beautiful passage in Philippians 4. Now let's look at that a moment. We see the importance of one's attitude in this passage. I can. Instead of I can't, it's I can. We also see the importance of one's actions. I can do. Not I can think, but I can do. So I can, attitude, do, actions. And we also see the importance of one's source of strength through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Now let's begin with the strengthening part of Christ. How does Christ strengthen me? I think that's a valid question. I mean, if we're going to talk about we can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, how in the world does the Lord strengthen me? Well, I've come up with these passages to answer that question. At least it satisfies my mind. We find in Ephesians chapter 3, turn with me if you will to Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 17. There we have recorded in Scripture, for this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Look at verse 16. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, listen, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit, where? In the inner man, right? Strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. 17. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, you being rooted and grounded in love. Now, we know where faith comes from, right? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we're to be strengthened with might in the inner man by faith. So it goes back to the scriptures. So it's not simply quoting, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's by going to that source of strength and making that a part of my life in which I am strengthened. Let's go to some other passages. And 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16. Therefore we do not lose heart. Now remember, he's talking about being hard-pressed in verse 8. Therefore we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing. Here we go again. Yet the inward man is being renewed, what? Day by day. So we're talking about, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. How does he strengthen me? He strengthens me through the inner man. And how is that accomplished? By going to his word. Right? And pretty simple to understand? Let's go to some other passages. Acts chapter 20 and verse 32, as Paul talks to the elders of Ephesus before he leaves them. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 32. So here's what, as you turn into this passage, here's what I want to stress on your mind. It's one thing to quote a passage. It's one thing to memorize a passage. It takes a whole lot of effort to apply the passage. And if we want to have that strength, it's not just quoting it. It's making application of it in our daily lives. And then we truly can have Christ's strength to handle whatever comes our way. We're going to talk about that in just a moment. But as we look at Acts chapter 20 and verse 32, we have recorded for us here in this verse, so now, brethren, as he talks to the elders, I commend you to God and the word of his grace. What's the word of his grace able to do? Which is able to what? Build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. What's the word able to do? Build you up and give you an inheritance. But brethren, we all are aware of this, that if we just let this book just sit idle during the week, you can quote that passage 101 times and it's going to mean nothing to you. You've got to open up the book. You've got to study the book. You've got to implant those teachings in your life. And then through Christ, you can handle anything that comes your way. And you won't have to use the idea of I can't. Again, let's go to a few more passages before we go on. In Ephesians 6, I'm only going to touch on this. I'm working on a sermon on the armor of God. In Ephesians chapter 6, you say, well, Chuck, you always talk about working on all these different lessons. That's exactly what I do. I get these different ideas, and I put them all down. And over the months or weeks, it comes together, and then I put it together, and then I share it with you. So in Ephesians chapter 6, we have recorded for us in verses 10 through 13. We're not going to go specifically into the armor, but it states in verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God. By the way, is the armor of God just simply going to fall upon me? No. I got to put it on. And that's what gives me the strength. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But I've got to do those things, to put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Kind of makes sense to me, doesn't it? So we've got that beautiful passage in Philippians 4:13, but now I've got to do it. I've got to develop the strength. And if I don't develop the strength, I won't be able to do it. I don't care if I quote it 1,000 times. You know, it's just like a weightlifter or someone who exercises. If they quit exercising, do they lose what they had? Yeah, they sure do. And when we quit exercising our mind in harmony with what God's will is, do we lose what we had? You see the point there? That means we need to keep on feeding. But there's one more important passage that goes beyond the word on this strength from Christ. Primarily, it's going and feeding upon God's word on a daily basis. But let us not forget this. Let's go to Acts chapter 28. In Acts chapter 28 and verse 15. we have recorded for us in Acts chapter 28, Paul making this statement. And from there, when the brethren heard about us, as they're going to Rome, they came and met us as far as Appii Forum and the Three Inns. And when Paul saw them, who's the them? That's the brethren, right? That's the brethren who traveled from other locations to come be with them as he's heading to Rome. Would you agree with me there? It says, now when he saw them, it says he thanked God, right? But it doesn't stop there. He thanked God and took courage. We need to feed upon the Word of God. You cannot minimize that. But I'll tell you another one thing that gives us strength is one another. One another. Here's the apostle of our Lord. He took courage because brethren made time and exerted the effort to go out there and be with him. Right? Number one, feed upon the Word of God. Number two, don't fail to be with your brethren when you can, because that's a source of strength. That is a source of strength. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now the question then begs, what is this all things? Well, let me illustrate what it's not. It's not doing something silly. Now, I don't do it anymore, but years ago before my heart attack, I used to weight train. And I used to want to get up to a certain weight, and it's not relevant what weight I got up to. But it would have been dumb of me if I said, well, since I've got this passage memorized, and since I've put these passages in my mind, I'm going to go next week and do the bench press of 400 pounds. And you know what? I tried that, and if there's no spotter, I'm dead. Because once I took the thing off the bar, and if there's no one to lift the bar up from me, it crushes my chest. I could quote that passage 6,000 times as that bar's coming down, but that's not what that passage is for. So there are some things it is not for. It's not for what I call silly things. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Okay, so let's change gears. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Where do I need strength from? How about sin? Do I need strength so that I do not sin? Are we all faced with sin every day? Are we all faced with the temptation to sin every day? How do I overcome that? Ah, there it is, Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And that's far more important than lifting a weight. Because sin will condemn us to hell if we're not careful. So I need to know how to overcome this temptation to sin. Let's go to some passages. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, I can do all things through Christ. Now, all things is I can overcome sin. Wouldn't it be nice as you're turning to 1 Corinthians 10:13. Wouldn't it be nice that if after you were baptized, there were no more temptations? Wouldn't that be great? It doesn't work like that. In fact, when will temptation cease? Answer, when I'm dead. Even as I get older, there's temptations. You know what I see one of the temptations as you're older? Those of us who are older, if we're not careful, we feel entitled. I've been here so many years, therefore. Yeah, we've got to be careful with that. Now, I'm not suggesting people shouldn't show respect, but is that not a problem sometimes we feel? And then we get our nose bent out of shape if we feel, why, he didn't respect me in my age. Right? So that's one. That's one of many. But the point is this. In 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13, no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. Stop. You have not been tempted in any unique way that somebody else hasn't. So quit feeling sorry for yourself and follow God's way. It goes on to state, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Notice what he does not do. He does not eliminate the temptation. Now, our God could have done that, couldn't he? But that's not what he's done. He's not eliminated the temptation, but he's made a way of escape. Oh, guess what? Where do you think the way of escape is? Through the strength that comes through the Word of God. You see, the more we develop our mind in following the will of God, the better off we are in escaping temptation. Have you ever put yourself in a situation you feel you shouldn't have put yourself there? Why do we do that? Why do we do that? You know, you go, you know, I shouldn't be here. Well, then get out of there. Right? Is that not simple? So again, and think of the temptations. You face different temptations than I face, but we all face temptation. And when we leave this building today, there'll be temptations that you or I might face. But God provides a way of escape. And I know I gave this illustration before, but it's not like this. I was studying with some denominational people who believed a direct indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and the announcer got up there and he said, oh, I ate too much chicken, but the Holy Spirit will take care of it. Absolutely not. Do you know how the Holy Spirit took care of it? Gluttony. Don't eat too much chicken. You get my point? You see how foolish people get? That's all right. I can handle it because God took care of it, but you ignored it. So now I hope you have heartburns. You see how we get? God provides a way of escape, but we decide not to follow it. And we could go in many specific areas, but I think you know what I mean. Let's go on. In 1 Peter chapter 2. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 11. It tells us this. Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. Now, let me ask you this. After you come up out of the watery grave of baptism, are there still fleshly lusts which war against the soul? After you've been a Christian for 35 years, are there still fleshly lusts which war against the soul? God doesn't say, just ignore it. He says, abstain from them. Be aware of that and abstain from fleshly lusts. Now, how do I do that? Well, I'm glad you asked. Go to Galatians 5:16. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16. I can do all things through Christ. In other words, after we obeyed the gospel, God just doesn't ignore us, but gives us a way to live. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16, and if you hate your life, you hate your life because you're not living God's way. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Okay, let's look at these two passages. Abstain from fleshly lust. Are we challenged with fleshly lust? Yes. Now, how do I abstain from fleshly lust? Well, according to Galatians 5:16, I'm to walk in the Spirit. Well, how do I walk in the Spirit? Oh, here we go again. Walk by the teachings of the Spirit. God has not made us robots. We've got to make the choices. One of my fleshly lusts, and you have yours too, is I love sweets. I love, and now don't go be buying me bags of Hershey Kisses. I love Hershey Kisses. I can sit and devour a whole bag of Hershey Kisses and then feel bad afterwards. That's a fleshly lust. Now, I'm not saying you're going to hell if you eat a Hershey Kiss. But it's one of those temptations that I try to avoid. And you know, the only way I can avoid it is I know that's one of my desires. So I need to not have them in my house. You know, I used to say, well, I'm going to have them in my house and only eat 4 kisses a day. And I would put the 4 kisses out on the table and something else would happen and there's a football game on. I goofed up today anyhow. Get me that bag of kisses. You ever do something like that? So for me, and there's other fleshly lusts, But for me, on that fleshly lust, you can confirm this with my wife, we have no Hershey Kisses in the house. And if they did, they wouldn't be there very long. She even tried to hide my candy on me one time. She was going to give me this required amount each day. I'm like an addict. I got to find that candy. And I did. I did. Okay, so I know this is, and again, this is a silly illustration, but it's true. This is one of the things that's one of my downfalls. So how do I abstain from those fleshly lusts? Well, God tells me to have self-control. Well, I've learned I can't have self-control if they're in my house. So to have self-control, I can't bring them in my... And boy, they got big bags of kisses now. It's not like when I first started. Yeah, little, you got mega bags. I don't buy them. It's one of the trouble when I go to Sam's or Costco, because it's all big quantities. And I say, oh, man, look at that. 4 a day, that's going to last me 60 days. No, it'll last me 6 days. Right? Now think of your life. The fleshly lust you deal with. What do you do about that? Just give in? Well, you can, but it's not going to help you because we're to abstain from fleshly lust. We're to be winners over that. I'm to have control over my body. And if I can't control my body when it's in my house, don't have it in my house. Is that not so? All right, let's go to some others. Romans chapter 13, verses 12 through 14. This is not rocket science. This is good old common sense based upon the Word of God. Romans chapter 13. You say, Chuck, you always give illustrations about food. Okay, look at me. Why do you think I give illustrations about food? That's one of the things I make a hobby. I got to watch out for that. In Revelation chapter 13, verse 12, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy. You know, we look at the first two. We don't do that. We look at the second one. No, we don't do that. But look at this last one. Look at this last one, strife and envy. Are there sometimes strife and envy among the Lord's people? Yeah. Got to watch out for that. First of all, I don't know why we should envy one another. We should be happy with one another. Strife and envy. How do I overcome that? Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. You have to make provision for the flesh. You have to work if you want to eat, but not to fulfill its lust. So I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can overcome temptation. Last one, 2 Peter chapter 2. Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. We have recorded for us here in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation. Now, just before that, we have the illustration of Lot. Just before this verse, we have Lot. And though Lot made some very bad decisions, he is identified as what? A righteous man, right? But in verse 9, it goes on to state, the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation. And how does he do that? By putting on the armor of God, and I can do all things through Christ. Now, if I'm caught up in temptation, kind of what that's telling me, I'm not being as godly as I should be. Is that a possibility? He knows how to deliver us out of temptation. So if I'm floundering in temptation, where's the problem? Well, then the problem's with me. Because Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But let's move on. It also means not only the temptation to sin, but that I can weather the storms of life. Now, those of us who are older, you know what I'm talking about. Life is not a Cinderella story. It's not necessarily happily ever after on this earth. Surely Stephen couldn't say happily ever after on this earth. He was taking his life, right? Surely some of my brethren in the first century, as they lost the seizure of their goods, it wasn't happily ever after on this life. So when I become a child of God, just like those of the world, I'm going to have storms of life come my way, but I can weather those storms of life in Christ. The all things, I can do that. I can be victorious over that. How can I do that? Well, let's go to Matthew 7, 24 through 27. And this I'm really paying attention to because, in just my own opinion, our America that we're a part of, that we love, is falling apart. It is literally falling apart before my eyes. I have to be honest with you, I watch very little news anymore because if I watch too much news, I get too aggravated. I get too despondent. Now, I'm not telling you can't watch the news. I'm saying what I have cut back drastically on that. Politics I don't get involved in because it just drives me nuts. But I see what's happened the past 40 years. In my opinion, and I'm not claiming this is the end of time, nobody knows when the end of time is. Understand that. Matthew chapter 24, verse 36. I know some religious teachers are now writing books and selling plenty of books warning it's happening new soon. We don't know when it's happening. But what I'm worried about, it might be the end of time for America. Not the end of time, but the end of time for America. I hope not. Now, how do I deal with that? Well, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And that is, I can be fortified to handle whatever comes my way. Because we don't know what's coming our way. You can do all the protections whatsoever. I'll give you an illustration before I read the passage. The other day, going through my emails, I went to this one email. It was a bogus email. Well, the first thing, did they get into my computer? Did they get into my accounts? Right? Did they get here? Did they get there? So I'm going haywire checking all these things, and everything's okay, but can that happen? Sure it can. And, of course, you need to take whatever precautions you can, but nevertheless, there's always someone smarter who gets over those precautions, are there not? So here's what helps me. Here's what helps me that doesn't overwhelm me and worry that makes me a basket case each and every day of my life. And that's found in Matthew 7, 24 through 27. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, him will I liken him to a wise man who builds his house upon the rock. Okay, here's these sayings of mine. That goes back to our first point, does it not? And that is the strength through the knowledge of God's will. Look at the next verse. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it did not fall, for it was founded upon the rock. Now, it gives the other side. Everyone who hears these sayings of mine does this not. And you know what? The floods came, the waters come, but that house is devastated. What that is telling me when I read this illustration, storms of life come to everybody. Come to everybody. You want to weather the storm, you do it through Christ. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. None of us like storms. You know, last year when the hurricane came and we didn't know where it was going, I didn't see anybody in our community say, oh, yippee, we're getting a hurricane. Did you do that? You're nuts if you did that. You need some medical help. But it could have come this way. Fortunately, it didn't. Unfortunately, it went through Taylor County, and some of the brethren here helped those brethren in that area. But it was, and you know what? When that storm came through, guess what? It also hit the child of God. Boy, you talk a boy to reach others. If God just sent all that to those non-Christians, could you imagine that? Could you imagine how full buildings would be? A storm came through, and everyone who was a faithful child of God, nothing happened. Well, then they'd be coming because they want to be prepared for the next storm. But it don't work like that. It doesn't work like that. If you happen to be in the path of the storm, guess what? You're going to get hit by the storm. Now, what makes you different than your next-door neighbor if he's not a child of God? The difference is you've got the strength to get through it, and he may not. He may not have the strength. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But I got to feed upon that word and put it in my life. And by the way, I don't pray for the storms. I don't pray for the wind to come. But they're coming at a time least convenient to you and I. But if I'm in Christ, if I'm grounded, if I'm strong, I can. Is that not true? See, Christianity is not limited to what we do on Sunday. It helps us to deal with the storms of life. If you got a 401k, be careful. Don't look every 2 hours, because you're going to drive yourself nuts. I had a brother in Christ in commodities. You better be very strong if you go into commodities. He had to get out of them. He was driving. Chuck, he'd come to me. I don't know what's happened. I said, get out of it. Robert, just get out of it. It's not worth it. Take your losses now, because you're going to drive yourself into the hospital the way you're going. Now, I'm not saying you can't buy commodity. That's up to you. But we can't put our dependence on the physical. We can't put our dependence on this government. We've got to put our dependence on Christ. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. When the storms of life come, let me assure you, any government, they could care less to you. They're more concerned on the government. That's just how it goes. And if you haven't learned that yet, you better wake up and become a child of God so you can weather the storm. Let's go to another illustration. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 10. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. This is an interesting one, because here now is the Apostle Paul. Now, did Apostle Paul do a good work for the Lord? Supreme. Way up there. Much higher than you and I. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, and lest I should be exalted above measure, the abundance of revelation, a thorn in the flesh was given to me. Look at this, a messenger of who? Satan. To buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Who's involved here? Satan. He wants to bring Paul down, doesn't he? Goes on to the next verse. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. Did Paul want this thorn taken away? Absolutely. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Think about that for a moment. My strength is sufficient for you, so I'm going to allow you to live with that thorn. Okay. A lot of people today is not going to accept that answer, are they? Well, God, why are you doing that? Take it away from me. No, I'm going to let you live with it. Because in your weakness, you focus to my strength. And he goes on to state, therefore, verse 9, therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and needs and persecution and distresses for Christ's sake. Why? For when I am weak, then I am strong. It shows our dependence upon the Lord. So sometimes he doesn't take something away from us, but he'll give us the strength to endure it, weather the storms of life. In fact, Philippians 4, 11 through 13, let's go back there very quickly. We read verse 13 a number of times, but let's go to Philippians 4 and verse 11. Because really, this is the context of the passage. It says, states here, not that I speak in regard for need, for I have learned in whatever state to be content. I know how to be abased. I know how to abound everywhere in all things. I have learned to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer needs. In other words, wherever he was in the circumstance of life, he can handle it. I can, not I can't, not I won't, not I quit, but I can do all things through Christ who strengthens. Isn't that a beautiful passage? Could you see if we made that a part of our life, how much better it would be for us? And then the reason all of that we can handle the struggles of life is I can have assurance. Because God gave me that assurance through his word. Colossians 3, 1 through 4, what does that tell us there? Set your mind on what? On things above. I'm here just for a short time. just a short time. This is not my eternal abiding place. I have to focus above. Isn't that what it tells us in Colossians? Well, if I focus above and focus to Christ and take his teaching, can I handle anything that comes my way? I should be able to, right? God knows that. God has never determined it right now, after sin came into the world, never determined this earth to be a utopia. Never has determined that. But he's given the strength to get beyond it. Now, don't misunderstand. I've been well blessed in this life. I've always had a place to sleep. I've always had a place to eat. I've had people who've taken care of me as a child. I have a wife who takes care of me as an adult. I have God who takes care of me spiritually. I've been well blessed. But we still have difficulties that we face. But here's only temporary. Let's go to another passage. Romans 8. Paul have a rough life? When he became a Christian, could I have full agreement that Paul had a rough life? And in Romans chapter 8, I love this passage because knowing his life, he states in verse 18, I consider the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Well, when I look what he went through and he said, that's not worthy to be compared, what about you and I? Wow, what are we looking forward to? How wonderful that is. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me because I know where I'm going. I know what he's promised. I know he's going to get me through it. Yeah, Chuck, well, what? I have a loved one and they died of cancer. He didn't get them through. Yes, he did. They stayed with him and they finally put off their body of flesh and get that home of heaven if they stayed faithful. That doesn't make us comforted, but it's comforting for that faithful child of God. Is that not so? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Our citizenship is where? In heaven. Yes, I'm a citizen of America, but that's my secondary citizenship. My primary citizenship, when I obeyed the gospel and became a part of the kingdom, is in heaven. I'm just a sojourner and pilgrim on this earth. And it's a shame that people pay so much attention to the things of this earth and they forget the far greater. What awaits? I love that passage. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, especially when difficulties come. Not that I'm happy when difficulties come, but I know God understands. And if I stay tuned to him, he'll give me the strength to handle it. So now we close. I can't shouldn't be in the regular vocabulary of the child of God. I can. I can do all things through Christ to strengthen me. I can weather the storms. I can grow in the grace and knowledge of God. And I like Clay's prayer for us who are men. I can develop myself to do what's ever necessary. Some years ago, I went to the congregation I was a part of, and lo and behold, the preacher was not there. Well, no problem. I can do the preaching. I've done that before. There was only one man who did a prayer, but that's all he would do. So he did a prayer. I did the Lord's table. Now the scariest part to me, the singing. Where's the song leader? They're not there. I am not a song leader. Trust me, if I'm leading singing when you come in, we have a rough day. We have a rough day, but we will sing. We might sing songs, Jesus loves me, but we will sing. We'll not sing part songs because I have trouble with that, but we will sing. And I'm going to depend on each one of you. If that day ever comes, you better sing out. I will start and we will sing together. The point I'm trying to state, God will give us the strength to handle whatever comes our way. So as we close, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. And I'm going to add you one more passage. In fact, this is going to be interesting to you. The next passage, let's go back to Philippians chapter 3. And Philippians chapter 3. And I didn't do this for the lesson's sake. I noticed this when I was reviewing my lesson. And Philippians chapter 3 and verse 14, I press toward the goal for the prize, the upward call of God in Christ. That's talking about heaven, is it not? So it's interesting. We started 4:13. Just reverse the two letters, two numbers. 3:14. 4:13, I can. 3:14, I press. Since I can do all things through Christ, I'm going to press toward that goal that awaits me. How about that? Do we do that? If we did, would our lives be better? Are you doing all things through Christ? Have you been baptized for the remission of your sins? You know you need to, because it's the blood of Jesus Christ that saves us. And on the day of Pentecost, they were told to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of his sins. If you've not done that, and you need to do that, and you understand you need to do that, we will assist you as we take your good confession. If you don't understand that, myself or others will study with you. And for those of us that are members of the Lord's body, don't get caught up in the I can't. It's I can as we serve our Lord, as we stand and sing.
Thank God, sweet.